Welcome to another great message from Influencers Church Australia. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com. We hope that this message blesses you.
How's everyone going tonight? So nice to be in Adelaide. It's a little bit colder than I expected, but it's beautiful to be here and to see so many of you out on a Friday night. Who would have thought people come to church on a Friday night? Only in Adelaide do they come out, and Brisbane do they come out. That's right, our Hillsong Brisbane campus is on a Friday night as well. But how cool to see you guys here. And I bring much love from my family back home. I'm married to a Bulgarian beauty. Any Bulgarians here? No, people are like, what's that, a burrito? What is that? You know, it's a country, people. It's a country, Eastern European. And she's back home with our kids. Our kids aren't well. They're a little bit sick. I've got a 9-year-old. That's my boy Taj. He's my little champion. Got my eldest Jaya. She's 11. And she's just, you know, an absolute cutie. And then I've got my little baby girl, Aria, who's 2 years old. She's just like a mum. She's a little hottie. She's got a mum's eyes, a mum nose, mum smile. My last name. It's really good. But it's good. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. And I just wanted to take time and thank your senior pastors, Ashley and Jane, for obviously having me in their platform. Want to send big love to my good friend, Josh and Shana. Josh has been a great friend for many years of mine. And I've got a big heart for these guys. They're just so good. They're genuine. They're the real deal. What you see is what you get. And I also want to mention someone else who's been a big influence in my life, and that's Steve and Sue Hilda down here, who, when I was a very young guy at the age of 13 and 14, it was Steve's preaching that inspired me to want to preach and want to serve ministry. And he came on a surf camp and preached to all of us surfers, and it really impacted me. And I love these guys, and you're blessed to have them here. So, yeah, come on, let's thank these guys. All right, turn around. Tell someone you're so good looking tonight, and then you can take your seats. Thanks, team. All right, anyone here love their Bible? Anyone here love their Bible? Any young people love their Bible? Well, we're going to read from it right now. If you've got your Bible, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're just going to get straight into it. Is that okay? All right, you can read along in the screen. It says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart." Somebody say, lose heart. Let nobody lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, "You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it. By its hair, I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "We'll go, and the Lord be with you." Anyone ever read the story of David and Goliath? What a great Bible story. One of the heroic Bible stories that we read. And I mean, I read this story and I've been reading it the last few months, just going over it and really been digging into it and really felt the Lord stir some things inside of me. And because when I look at David, you know, who said this and who did this against Goliath, I think they're brave words from a young boy. They're brave words from a young boy. I mean, Israel at that time were in a time where they were terrified, where they were afraid their nation was being threatened by another nation. There was literally a war, a battle in a field, and here's this Goliath, this giant who was the challenger from the Philistines, there to take down the nation of Israel. And we read about David and I think, wow, brave words from a young boy. But really when you read it, you know what it is? It's the story of a little boy with giant faith. That's what it's about. It's a little boy with giant faith. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Title of my message, if you're taking notes, I want to talk about giant faith. Does that seem unattainable to you? Does that seem unreachable to you that you could possibly have giant faith? I mean, when we think about David, who was David to have giant faith? I mean, he was a shepherd boy. He was overlooked. He was forgotten. He was never given a go. He never really stood out. He never had anyone. He wasn't anyone special. Yet on this battlefield, he defeats the giant. And you know, we can think, I can't have faith like that. I'm not like David in the Bible. I couldn't have giant faith. We could say, I'm no one special. I've never done anything really significant. I've never really stepped out in faith. I'm not really, I'm no David. I'm no giant slayer. I'm just average. Ever seen yourself just average? I'm just average. You know, just have an average job, drive an average car, live in an average home, have an average life, live with an average wife. Don't say that. You'll get yourself into trouble if you say that. You know, but you say, I'm just Mr. Average. You know, you don't understand. In my house, Sanger, I'm just the mail collector. That's all. I come home and I bring the mail in, you know, put the mail in there. You know, I'm just the garbage taker outer. Take the garbage out every day. She tells me to take the garbage out. Take the garbage out. I'm just the noise checker outer. That's what, something goes bump in the night. She's on to me. Get up, check it. I get up in my pajamas. I'm looking out. I can't see. I'm stumbling around. I can't hear anything, but I'm the noise checker outer. Hey, I'm the bug killer. That's what I do. I'll just kill the bugs. Why is it that every female thinks that males love killing bugs? You know, whenever there's a bug, my wife, she's like, there's a, kill it, kill it, it's a bug. You know, they think that we love killing, but let me tell you, as a male, you don't just rush in and kill bugs. No, you have to first assess. Because you don't know what that bug's capable of. It might have the gift of flight. And let me tell you, not all aerosol cans kill bugs. No, for some bugs, it's like giving them a can of Red Bull. They just become Bugosaurus, you know. And so you see, no, I'm just Mr. I couldn't have giant faith. I'm just Mr. Average. You know, there was a lot of people in the Bible that were just average, but yet did giant things for God. There was a lot of people in the Bible that had struggles that were just average. You think about Joshua, he was too young. David, too inexperienced. Moses, too insecure. Peter, too unstable. Thomas, too doubtful. Zacchaeus, too short. Martha, too worrying. Lazarus, too dead. You know, they all had struggles, but there was something inside of them that did giant things for God. You see, you have the same measure of faith as people in the Bible did. You know what the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3? It says, for I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly. For God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Listen to it. God's dealt to each one, to everyone, a measure of faith. Now, it's not some people get more faith and some people get less faith. No, we've all been given the measure of faith. You see, you can sit here tonight and say, well, I don't have the faith of Smith Wigglesworth. I don't have the faith of Oral Roberts. I don't have the faith of Kenneth Copeland. I don't have the faith of Benny Hinn. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, yes, you do, because you've been given the same measure as they were given. That's what the Bible says. Acts 10 verse 34 actually says, God is no respecter of persons. The Message version says, God plays no favorites. He has no favorites when it comes to the measure of faith that he gives. In fact, in Mark 11, verse 22, it says, have faith in God. In the Amplified version, it says, have the faith of God. You see, it's the God kind of faith that he's given to every man as a measure. So can your faith increase? Well, the answer is yes. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in another man's labors, but having hope that, listen to it, as your faith increased, as your faith increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by in our sphere. You know, the disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, they said, Jesus, increase our faith. In Romans 10, 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Joshua 1 verse 8 says to meditate on the word day and night. Jude verse 20 says praying in the spirit, building up your most holy faith. You see, so God, through his word and through prayer, increases our faith, growing our original measure. You can increase your faith. You see, but here's the thing. We've got to learn to exercise our faith. Here's the thing that makes the big difference from people who we hear about doing great exploits for God is people who exercise their faith. My brother, he used to work in a gym, and he used to be just one of the gym employees, and he would help people come in as they'd come, and they'd get on the exercise machines and they'd do the weights. And I used to go over and visit him on Thursdays and hang out with him, and we'd sit in the gym and watch people. And there were a couple of boys that used to come in. And these guys were absolutely huge. They were massive. You know, they were like a couple of refrigerators. You know, they were straight out of the Retrovision store. You know, they'd turn up. These guys had muscles in places. I didn't even have places. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these guys, and when they would flex, you know, they would get in the mirror and they'd flex. Their muscles wouldn't just ripple. No, their muscles would talk to you. They were just ginormous. And there were these two twins, and these two twins, they were as big as each other, and they used to do, they'd be doing all of these machine work and hand work, and they had muscles in their thumbs and all of these places. And I remember my brother said to me, he said, you know what? He said, they're here every week. He said, they're here every day. He said, they're always exercising. They're always working. They're here every day. They're always working out. Well, you know that your faith is like a muscle. And faith needs to be exercised. If you exercise your faith will grow strong. But when you don't exercise, faith remains dormant. And you see, so faith needs to be exercised. It's exactly what David did. You see, how do you exercise? Putting the word inside of you. That's what David did. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. He says, what? What's David done? He's putting the word in him. Just each day, I'm just putting the word in me. Just each day, I'm putting a bit of the word in me. Just each day, I'm putting a little bit more of the word in me. That's what he's doing. He's putting the word inside of him. You see, you know what or how David had giant faith? You know how he had that giant faith? I'll tell you why. Because his revelation was greater than his situation. Come on, someone. His revelation was greater than his situation. He's on a battlefield going up against a 9-foot giant, but what was inside of him was greater than what was coming against him. His revelation was greater than his situation. You see, I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what problems are here. I don't know what challenges are here. I don't know what you're facing that you're going to wake up to tomorrow or what you're going to go home to tonight. But what I do know is that the Word of God has authority, that the Word of God has majesty, that the Word of God has supremacy, and the Word of God has power. And when you get that revelation against your situation, you start to think, hang on a minute. My God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is mightier. My God is greater than what's coming against me. And that's why David could get out on a battlefield, because his revelation was greater than his situation. See, think about a new child that's conceived. When conception happens, and that little baby is conceived in the womb, you know what that baby does instantly? Looks around and says, whoa, what a womb. This womb is massive, ginormous womb. It's like, womb, 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 womb. It's like, what a womb. But then 3 months later, little baby's grown a little bit, sort of like crawling around, moving around, doing a few somersaults. I know the womb. Yeah, I've been over there. I haven't been out over that section, but I know what's going on over in this womb, in my part of the womb, but I'm going to explore there. I'm going to get over there. 6 months down the track, that baby starts feeling quite at home and quite comfortable, saying, yeah, this is my womb. That's my bed womb. That's the bathroom. Then my womb. I'm just hanging out in my womb. What you doing? Come under my womb. You know, the baby is quite 9 months down the track. How many of you know that baby is like king of the castle? That baby is like, hey, yo, this is my pad, okay? I pull this, mum does that. I poke that, mum does that. You know, I'm like, that baby is in control, very comfortable, very complacent, having a good time. And then something happens. A little thing nature calls birth. And what's birth do? Birth is about to push that baby out of its comfort zone, out of where it's been familiar, out of where it's known, into a new environment, to something better and something bigger. And that baby all of a sudden has to go down the birthing canal. And what's the baby do? It goes into the lock position. It's holding onto a rib here. It's got an intestine there. It's not going anywhere. It's struggling to hold on for dear life. It doesn't want to go. But all of a sudden, birth happens, and that baby comes into a new environment of our world and says, wow, it's much bigger out here than it ever was in there. And maybe God is wanting to push you into something new in your life. Maybe he wants to get you out of being complacent, being familiar, being comfortable, and says, come on, start to trust me again. Come on, start to believe me again. Come on, start to put your hope in me again. And stand in faith again for what he can do. You see, when you get a revelation, it changes your declaration that can cause an activation to overcome your situation. Oh, that's good rhyming right there. Come on, someone. That was a good rhyme right there. That's it. That should be a nursery rhyme. So what does giant faith look like? What does giant faith look like? Let's have a look at David. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. Faith sees. Faith sees. You see, verse 26, listen to this. David asked the men. He asked the men that were there, the soldiers, he asked them. He said, what will be done? What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? He says, what will be done? Who removes this disgrace from Israel? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine anyway, that he's defying the armies of the living God? Listen to David's language. He said, whoa. What will be done? You're telling me that if this guy goes, what will be done? And they start telling him, they said, well, the man who defeats the giant, he gets to marry the king's daughter. He gets the girl. He gets tax-free living. He gets the glory. And then he gets all of this wealth as a prize, the gold. And David's like, he's like, are you for real? He's like, so if I remove that, I get that. And they're like, yeah, you remove that, you get that. And all of a sudden, it's going through David's head. What's happening here? David starts to see possibilities. He starts to see what can become his. He starts to see what he can gain. He starts to see what he can do. He starts to see because faith sees. You see, but here's the thing. To see possibilities, you have to be able to see past your obstacles. You see, Goliath was not the only obstacle that stood in the front of David. He had to see past his father's rejection, where he wasn't, his father didn't want him anointed, didn't want him to be a warrior, didn't want him to be on the battlefield. He had to see past his brother's resentment, because in verse 28, the brothers resented having David on the battlefield. They didn't want him here. He had to see past Saul's lack of faith in him, because Saul said, who are you? You're just a boy. And he tried to put his own armor on David, and David said, this won't fit me. You know what? David had to see past his own insecurities. Because you think about David, he was small, he was young, he was not a warrior's build, he hadn't been on a battlefield before. And you think of all of those things that we don't often talk about, but I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder what was going, because sometimes the greatest things we have to overcome are our own insecurities, are our own inferiorities, are our own inadequacies and our own abilities. I mean, insecurity can cause a female to stand in front of a mirror and look into that mirror and all of a sudden say, do I look fat? Does my butt look big in this? Is my hair going grey? Am I getting shorter? You know, where a male can come along and he'll look in the same mirror and he'll have his stomach hanging out And he'll look in that mirror and he'll just suck his stomach in and just go, I still got it. You got to see past your obstacles, people. You got to see it. Faith sees. Hey, what have you given up seeing? What are you giving up seeing in your life? Have you stopped seeing breakthrough? You stopped seeing life getting any better? I can't see that changing. Can't see my marriage improving. Can't see myself getting ahead in life. Can't see myself owning my own home. Can't see myself meeting the right person. Can't see an opportunity for my life anymore. What have you given up seeing? Because I want to tell you, faith sees. Keep seeing that God can, that God will, that God's able, that God can, that He's abundant. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Faith sees. Here's the next one. Faith believes. Faith believes. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, listen to it, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I love David. He says, you know what? If God delivered me from a bear and from a lion, I believe that He will deliver me from this Philistine. David, just believe. That's what faith does. Faith believes. You see, Saul didn't believe he could. His father didn't believe he could. His brothers didn't believe he could. What are you believing for? What have you given up believing for? You see, faith believes, but you know what? You've got to choose to live by your faith and not by your feelings. You see, your feelings will easily give up. Well, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like believing. I don't feel like I can go on. I don't feel like I can make it there. I don't feel like I can keep going. You know what? Your feelings will always want to give up. That's why you got to choose to live by your faith and not by your feelings. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. There will always be conflict between your feelings and your faith. Our senses demand that we walk by sight. The Word demands that we walk by faith. Feelings are temporal, but faith is eternal. Feelings are natural, but faith is supernatural. And you've got a supernatural God. The world says that you've got to see it to believe it, but faith says no, you've got to believe it to see it. You see, Mark 11 verse 24 says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it. Believe it. Faith believes. So faith sees. Faith believes. Here's the next one. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and I will cut off your head. David said, he did not remain silent in the face of bad news. He did not remain silent in the face of a bad report. He did not remain silent in the face of a situation that was overcoming, overwhelming, and over intimidating. No, David said, because faith speaks. Faith, you got to understand, faith comes alive when it's spoken out of your mouth. That's when faith is born. That's when faith is conceived. That's when faith becomes active, when it's spoken. That's the power of the Word of God. When God spoke the world into being, it was faith that spoke it. When you open your mouth, you see, words, when used correctly, will move mountains. When used incorrectly, will create them. Words are carriers. Your words carry life or your words carry death. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Words can carry peace or words can carry conflict. Words can carry encouragement or words carry despair. Words can carry joy, words can carry sorrow. Words can carry hope or words can carry negativity. I can always locate what a person believes by the conversation that comes out of their mouth. You see, too often we speak defeat over our situations. Too often we speak the worst, we speak negative, or we speak in absolutes. That will never happen. That will never work. Well, I've missed that. That opportunity's gone. Can't happen now. Well, it's too late for me. No point now. Why should I go on? Well, there's nothing left. There's no way. speaking in absolutes. Your words are shaping a destiny. Your words are shaping an environment that you're living in. You see, all people desire prophecy or words of encouragement. You know, when someone gives a word to you or you hear something that encourages you, it builds something in you, breathes life into you when you hear good things spoken into your life, like a prophecy or a word of encouragement. You know, Kenneth Copeland says, you are the prophet of your own life. You know, the best prophecies I've ever received are the ones that I give myself. It's true. I mean, I love to get up in the morning and I love to say, God, I thank you that today I'm blessed. Today I thank you that I'm prosperous, that I'm healthy. God, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail, that I'm above and not beneath. God, I thank you that today I have victory, that today I'm more than a conqueror. God, I thank you that I'm made in your image and in your likeness. God, I thank you that I'm so good looking. God, I just keep speaking it. I just want to keep speaking it. Yeah, that's what David did. David spoke into it. David listened to David, he prophesied into his future. He said, I'll strike you down. He said, I'll cut off your head. He said, the Lord will deliver you to me. He was just prophesying over his future, speaking into it. You know, I'll never forget my wife's ex-boyfriend before we got married. When she was coming to Australia, he said, if you come to Australia, you'll probably live in Australia. You'll probably marry an Australian. And you'll probably stay in Australia. And you know, I never did get to thank him for those words that he spoke all those years ago. You could say, oh, Sanger, you're just one of those name it and claim it, blab and grab, are we? Confess and possess. No, I actually don't just speak it. I believe in the power of it. I believe there's power in our words when faith is spoken. David said in Psalm 116, verse 10, I believe, therefore I speak. Oh, he spoke it out. Come on. Keep speaking life. Keep speaking hope. Don't speak defeat. Don't speak the worst. Don't speak negative. Speak joy. Speak peace. Speak life. Speak encouragement. Speak faith over your family, over your marriage, over your work, over your situation. Faith speaks. So faith sees. Faith believes. Faith speaks. And here's the fourth one. Faith stands. Faith stands. Listen to David. Verse 47 says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. See, David recognizes that he was in a fight, but he also recognizes that the battle was the Lord's. He knew where he stood. He said, you know what? I'm in a fight. And you know what? You might be in a fight. Maybe you've lost a couple of rounds, but it doesn't mean you've lost the fight. See, when you know where you stand, sometimes you've just got to know, you know what? I've done everything I can. And now I'm just going to stand on what God says. And that's what David did. He said, you know what? You're all coming against us. But I know he will deliver me. I know he will give you into our hands. And he just stood on God's word. You see, don't let a giant or intimidation, something that's there to overwhelm you, don't let it rob you from your future. You see, that giant, he stood 9 foot tall. He had a bronze helmet, armor, sword, and javelin. And there's David, this small, skinny, ruddy, handsome young boy. But David just stood his ground. Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Galatians 5 1, for it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Ephesians 6 13, after you have done everything, stand, the Bible says. You know, 2006 was one of the toughest years for our lives. You know, I mean, I told you we got 3 beautiful children, but if I was honest, I'd say we've got 5 beautiful children. 2006, we're over in Bulgaria visiting my wife's family, took her over to Europe. We took Jaya, who was our firstborn. She was about probably 11 months, 12 months, and we took her over with us, and we were there having a great time. But Jaya got very sick, and so sick that we had to go into the hospital, and one thing led to another, and then she was taken and she was quarantined. And it turned out that day there was about another 50 to 70 babies that had all caught this same virus that was going around that country at the time. And they were all in there together, and we didn't know what was going on for hours because it was a quarantine section. We weren't allowed in there in the middle of Eastern Europe. And so we were just praying, and then a nurse comes out and she starts speaking to another family and says, three babies have just died. So we immediately demand that we get our baby. We get on the next flight home. The very next day we fly back to Australia. We're praying, we're believing. And you know what? Jaya recovered. I mean, we were praising God. She recovered. She came strong. But what had happened is my wife was also pregnant with our next child, Noah. But my wife had gotten the virus inside of Noah while she was pregnant. And she gave birth to Noah at 24 weeks. Noah was born prematurely and died at birth. You know, one of the hardest things I've ever had to do is go to a hospital and you have a baby and then drive home with no baby. That's hard. And I remember it was just a tough season. You think, how can you recover? How do you go through stuff like that? Well, then Taj, we fell pregnant with Taj. And you know, while we were pregnant with Taj, we start seeing the same complications that was happening with Noah. And this wasn't looking good. And I remember we'd just gotten home and we'd got this report from the doctors and got the x-ray, and they said, it's not looking good. It was 24 weeks. And they said, you know, it's not really going to happen, and don't get your hopes up and that. And I remember my wife was sitting on the lounge and I was just standing there and I didn't know what to say. She was on the lounge just weeping. We'd just gotten home from the doctors and it didn't look like it was going to happen. And then I just said, you know what? I went out and I got my Bible and I said, and I held up the x-ray and I said, you see this, babe? I said, this is ink on paper. And she said, yeah. Then I held up my Bible in the other hand and I said, you see this? This is ink on paper. I said, what are we going to choose to believe right now? And in a little Bulgarian voice, she pointed to the Bible. She said, that one, baby. I said, that's it. That's my girl. And so you know what? We were away on a camp at the time and my wife starts searching, just saying, God, I want to hear from you. And she did what every pastor will tell you not to do. She did the old flick and pick. You know, in the Bible where you just flick and you pick. So she flicks through the pages and she puts a finger down. It lands on John chapter 4 and verse 50. And that scripture said, you may go, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. You know, we took that scripture home. We put it on our bedroom door. And every day we just stood on that scripture. We said, God, we thank you, God. We thank you that's our son will live. We thank you, God, that, and we just said that every day. We thank you, God, that he's going to live. Well, you know, Taj was born and, you know, long story short, Taj died at birth, but they resuscitated him and he came back to life. And now he's 9 years old, my little champion, because I'll tell you something, you got to know when to stand, because faith stands in the circumstances. Well, hey, here's the next one. Number 5, faith advances. Faith advances. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, listen to it, David ran. David ran. He ran toward the battle line to meet him. He was something about David that kept advancing. When the problem was coming towards him, he decided to advance because faith advances. What in your life has stopped advancing? What stopped advancing in your life? What is it that you may have settled in? See, Israel was settled. Saul and the army, they were settled on top of the hill. They weren't going anywhere. They'd been there for days, weeks, months, literally camped on the top of a hill. They weren't advancing at all. They were in fear. They'd given up. And you see, that's what happens when you haven't had a breakthrough for a while. You give up. You retreat. You back away. You give in. We start to settle and our expectations reduce to the level of our past experiences. And our lives stop advancing in creativity, stop advancing in innovation, stop advancing in fresh thinking, new ideas, new dreams, new strategies, more relationships, financial initiatives, new endeavors, more investments. We just settle and stop advancing. But I want to tell you something about faith. Faith advances. Faith knows no defeat. Faith does not quit. Faith does not give up. Faith does not throw in the towel. Faith does not let go. Faith does not retreat. Faith does not walk away. Faith does not back away. Faith does not give in, give up, or throw in the towel. No, faith knows no defeat. Faith advances. Come on, faith advances. Don't settle. Don't sit. Don't stay. But start advancing. Maybe the Lord's saying, come on, it's time to start to take territory again. Come on, it's time to enlarge your thinking again. Come on, it's time to stretch your vision again. Come on, there's more ahead of you. There's more than what's behind you if you just start to stretch and advance again. Because faith advances. And I'll get the worship team to come because this is my last one. Oh, look at that. You're already here. Oh, you little cheeky one, you little cheeky fella. A little cheeky one he is. Here's number six. Here's number six. Faith overcomes. Faith overcomes. Verse 50. So David triumphed. Somebody say triumphed. So David, shout it like you mean it. David triumphed. He triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and he killed him. God wants you to overcome, not be overcome. He wants you to overcome, not be overcome. You say, how can you say that, Sanger? How can you say faith overcomes? I mean, if you know my story, how can you say faith overcomes, Sanger, when your mum died of cancer 14 years ago? How can you say faith overcomes? How can you say that, Sanger, when you didn't have just one child that died, but you had another child, Zach after Taj, who was born before Aria, who lived for 3 months and then died? Well, how can you say faith overcomes when your mum died of cancer, when your two boys died at birth? How can you say that faith overcomes? I'll tell you how. Because my revelation is greater than my situation. Come on, what's inside of me is greater than whatever can come against me. I'm still standing, aren't I? I'm still believing, aren't I? I'm still speaking, aren't I? I'm still confessing. I'm still standing. I'm still advancing. I'm not giving in. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. I'm not walking away. No, there's something on my life. It's called the call of God. It's called the revelation of God. And it's going to keep advancing. It's going to keep moving. I'm not throwing in the towel. Oh, come on. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you stand to your feet? What are the giants in your life? What are the giants in your life right now? Listen to Psalm 112, verse 8. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph over their foes. I love Psalm 112. They will see triumph over their foes. What are your foes right now? What are your giants? What are your giants that the Lord's saying you will see triumph? You will see triumph. Is it sickness? Is it finance? Is it relationships? Is it health? Is it job? Is it a career? Is it family, a work challenge, a problem, property? What is it? Because we know the ending. We know that the devil is defeated. Bible says that he's under my feet. Bible says I've given you the authority to overcome the power of him. Faith does not deny the giants. Hey, the giants that we face, that we have to go through, they're real. Whatever that giant is in your life, I know it's real. But faith doesn't deny the giants. No, faith attacks those giants with "it is written." Because my revelation is greater than my situation. I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep speaking. I'm going to keep advancing. I'm going to keep overcoming. I'm not giving in. I won't give up. I won't be silent. But I'm going to stand in faith in Jesus' name. Come on. Can we start to worship? Can we take a moment? Come on, lift your hands. Let's sing. Come on. Hallelujah. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yeah. I love that. The God of miracles. That's the God we serve. He's the God of miracles. Anyone believe that? Anyone believe that giants still fall? Anyone believe that giants still fall? Come on. I tell you what, you got a giant in your life right now. You got a giant in your life. Lift your hands. You got giants in your life. Lift your hands. You got giants. Just lift your hands. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What's He saying to you right now? Is He saying, come on, faith speaks. Start to open your mouth again. Start to declare the promises of God again. Start to speak over that situation again. Come on, don't be silent any longer. Start to speak over that giant again. What's He saying to you? Start to believe again. Come on, can you start to see it? Can you see the possibilities? Can you see the breakthrough? Can you see yourself on the other side? Can you see yourself in the victory? Can you see yourself standing with hands wide, worshiping God on the other side? Keep advancing. What's He saying? What's Holy Spirit saying tonight? Come on, Father, right now, we say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, begin to stir in this place. Begin to stir in this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, stir faith. Stir faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Building up your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, we just speak to giants tonight. We call out those giants tonight, because we call things that are not as though they were, and we say giants will fall in Jesus' name. Those giants aren't going to last. Those giants aren't going to stand. But we say, giant, your days are numbered. Your days are over. And God, we just say the battle is the Lord's and the victory is ours.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com.